Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Today, Gloria Copeland and special guest Billy Brim explain why God is so interested in proper weights and measures when His people do business in the marketplace.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. We have our good friend with us, Billy Brim, and she is telling us some amazing things that are coming up on the earth. Glory
Hallelujah.
To God.
And I know they are.
Yeah, they are.
And June 29th, we were in prayer at Prayer Mountain, praying about the election. Holy Spirit came upon us and said, there is one thing that will save America, and it is not the election. It is an awakening to God.
That's right.
One thing will save Israel.
One thing.
One thing. Not anything else. One thing will save Israel and the world. It is an awakening to God. Save them from what? The judgments of God. We're in the time now when we're changing ages. We're going over, there will be the 7-year period. Then there will be the millennial. And so we're changing, and things are being judged right now. Nations are being judged right now. So we studied that there are three groups of people, the Jews, the nations, and the church. Right now we're talking about the judgment of the nations and why the nations will be judged. We found out that in Genesis, when they were first called nations, in Genesis chapter 10, they gotten off the boat, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their sons were listed as the heads of 70 nations, the beginnings of 70 nations. Then we saw where the nations rebelled against God, the Tower of Babel. And we read the source of that rebellion. I'm going to read to you now the way the Humash translates it. In Genesis chapter 10, because it began with a man named Nimrod. And Cush begot Nimrod. This is verse 8. He was the first to be a mighty man on earth. He was a mighty hunter before Hashem. Therefore it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before Hashem. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel. There was no man kingdom until him, Nimrod. Erech, Akkad, Calne in the land of Shinar. That's Babylon. From that land, Asher went forth and built Nineveh. So we see that those great cities of the past, Nineveh and Babylon, they came from a man's rebellion, Nimrod. I'm going to read you their comments again as I did yesterday. Before Nimrod, there were neither wars nor reigning monarchs. He was the first reigning monarch. He subjugated the Babylonians until they crowned him. After which he went to Assyria.
So he was the first person that set himself up
as king.
As king.
Yeah. After which he went to Assyria and built great cities. The Torah calls him a mighty hunter, which Rashi and most commentators interpret figuratively. Nimrod hunted men. He ensnared men with his words and incited them to rebel against God. His first conquest, which laid the basis for his subsequent empire building, was Babel, which eventually became the center of Nebuchadnezzar's Babylonia and his Babylonian Empire. It was one of the greatest cities of the ancient world. I went to the Louvre. I saw some things they had there from the ancient Babylon. And then I'm going to ask them to show you later on some pictures of Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon. But for the Jewish people, we saw that after the rebellion of the nations, God's put forth, he chose a nation, his chosen nation, came down through Abram, to reveal to the nations of the world himself. All the revelation we have of God in the Old Testament and in the New came from Jews. Jesus was a Jew. And so that nation was set apart to reveal God to the nations. He told them in Deuteronomy chapter 28, he placed them, and I'll show you an ancient map here that's shaped like three petals, and we see in the middle Jerusalem. The petal to the left is Europe, to the right, upper right, is Asia, and the bottom is Africa. He set them in a land bridge. If somebody asks you what continent Israel's on, you'll have to think a little bit. Actually, it's because it's a land bridge between continents. Technically, it's called Asia, but it's a land bridge between three continents. And God said, I'm going to bless you. And he told all the blessings he was going to put on them. There were blessings you could see with these eyes, prosperity, health. And chapter 28, it says in verse 10, all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of Jehovah. So he put them in that wonderful place so that all the people who were trading, all the armies could come through and see a nation who was blessed. But now if you don't bless me, we're going to go, because you're going to reveal me to the nations, we're going to go to plan B of the revelation. Plan B, it culminates in 64. The Lord shall scatter you among all people from one end of the earth to the other. And so they did go to plan B. Plan B in the scattering, every place it's mentioned, it also mentions that there will be an ingathering. The ingathering will come just before the second coming of the Lord when he puts up his messianic kingdom. But you're going to be scattered. And then when I call for you, the Hebrew says pipe for you, you're going to come and you're going to come back to that land. And we're seeing that. Oh, praise God. We've seen Israel reborn. And so he calls them back there. But now we want to go back to when they were scattered. When they were first scattered, because they didn't obey God, they didn't obey the judgments of God, they didn't align themselves with the judgments of God, so they knew the repercussions of that, and they were scattered. What nation carried them off into captivity? Babylon. It was Babylon that came. It was Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon that came after them. And we see in the Bible, in Daniel chapter 2, young Daniel had been carried off into Babylon, and the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, had had a dream. We'll show you that picture of his image. He had a great image that he saw of a dream, and Daniel interpreted that dream to the Lord. And he said in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 28, "There is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days." By the time it has come to Nebuchadnezzar, that's quite some time after Nimrod. It's a Neo-Babylonian. It's a new uprisen Babylonian empire. And they were quite advanced. I am showing you some things that when they found these Ishtar gates, they were in the situation. They were practically whole. They dug them up. They took them to Berlin. There they are in Berlin today. And you can see the beautiful blue tiles. But you'll still see on the walls of the Ishtar gates, the walkway that came from the river. Young Daniel and all the captives would have come from that river down this walkway. And there they would have seen on the tiles the Babylonian image of the lion with wings. And they were carried off into this very godless, idol-worshipping Babylon. Came down through there, but he had a dream. He's carried off the children of Israel. He has no idea who they really are. He knows they worship Jehovah. But he has a dream, and it so troubles him that he says he's going to kill his wise men if they don't tell him the dream and its meaning. Daniel says, and look at it again in verse 28, "There's a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days, in the end of days." So he showed King Nebuchadnezzar the end of the Babylonian system. And here it is, chapter 2, verse 31. "You saw, O king, a great image." This image is the whole world Babylonian system and its effect against Israel. Verse 31, "You, O king, saw a great image." Verse 32, "This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and arms of silver, his belly and thighs of brass, his legs of iron and feet part of iron and part of clay. You saw till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon its feet that were of iron and clay and broke them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver and gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." Verse 38, end of the verse, "You are this head of gold." And then, of course, the kingdom under that was the Medo-Persian Empire, the silver. Then there came the actually copper, is what the Hebrew says of Alexander the Great. And then came the legs of iron, Rome. And then the feet, part of iron and part of clay, which is the old Roman Empire revived, which I believe is the European Union. And so we see that in the time of these kings, down in the bottom, the toes, there comes a stone cut without hands. That's the kingdom of God. That's the millennial reign. And it's going to strike this whole Babylonian image on its toes, and the whole thing is coming down. And, you know, when you sift the way they used to do it with the harvest, they had these big round sifter deals, and they put the wheat on there, and they sifted it, and they tossed it in the air, and it would blow away the chaff, and the wheat remained. So God says, all of that Babylonian system is going to be gone. And my kingdom will fill the whole earth. And of course, this earth is headed toward the glory of God. Hallelujah. Now, I know that the judgments of the nations, which are coming, and the judgment of this Babylonian system is judgment on this system. We see that from the rock hitting the whole thing and the whole thing coming down. Now, without going into any dogmatic ideas on who the Babylon, the city of Babylon, is in the book of Revelation, we're going to see that the system will be judged. And let's look at the book of Revelation over in chapter 17. And I think on our way there, we'll stop by Jeremiah 25. It is a very interesting chapter. Jeremiah 25, of course, Jeremiah tells about the scattering of the people and the ingathering. And as soon as Babylon came and carried them off, God had a prophecy through Jeremiah about the judgment of the nations. Jeremiah chapter 25 and verse 15. God spoke to the prophet Jeremiah, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it." This is a cup of judgment. In the Bible, there's cups of joy. This is a cup of judgment. And he says, all these nations that drank of Babylon's rebellion and drank of what she put in the world, they're going to know a judgment. Now you take it to them right now so they can drink of my cup of judgment. Verse 17. Then I took the cup at the Lord's hand and made all the nations to drink of it. How did he do this? He didn't have a chariot. He didn't have a spaceship. But when God said it, it was done. Somehow God took him to these nations and they drank of that cup of judgment. Who did drink of it? First off, verse 18, Jerusalem and Judah. Verse 19, Egypt. Verse 21, Edom, Moab, Ammon. Here we have Jordan and part of Saudi Arabia. All the kings of Tyre and Sidon, the Phoenicians. All the isles that are beyond the sea, way over here. He mentions Arabia. And then he mentions here, verse 26, all the kings of the north, all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth, and the king of Shishak, that's Babylon, shall drink of it. So all the nations were affected by Babylon's rebellion. So all of the nations are going to drink of the judgment that Babylon will know. For, he said in verse 31, the Lord has a controversy with the nations. There will be a settling of these affairs. So now we're going to go over to the book of Revelation. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 17. And this is in the time of tribulation. Now the church is out of here. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, and with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth which have been drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, without going into which city, which exactly thing, for sure, it's this Babylonian rebellion back from Nimrod's time. And all the nations have drunk of it. They have had fornication with those ideas that were against God and against his judgments. And then we see that God and Jeremiah, they're going to drink the cup of his judgments. And verse 5, and upon her forehead was written, mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. That Babylonian rebellion was the mother of all the horrible things that have come down through the nations against God. That's where they were born, in Nimrod and in the Babylonian system. And that system is going to know judgment. Now, in light of what has happened economically here, let's look at something. Chapter 18. Verse 3. All the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. We see this word merchants. Go to verse 11. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. The Babylonian system's judgment. Verse 15. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Verse 17, the end of the verse, as many as trade by sea stood afar off. Verse 23, the end of the verse, thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. It was not always so that the merchants were the great men of the earth. But by the time of the judgment of the Babylonian system, the merchants are the great men of the earth. Those who buy and sell, those who have great corporations, great gigantic corporations, those merchants are the great men of the earth. So we've been living in a time when the great men are those who had this great entity and that great economic entity.
Interesting.
And they have been deceived by the sorceries of Babylon. They are particularly mentioned in the time of the judgment of Babylon. Now, so are we to think then that God's against trading and merchandising? No, he's not. But he put his judgments on those matters, economic matters, in the earth. We're going to look at some of his judgments along those lines. Let's turn first to Leviticus chapter 19, verses 35 through 37. These are God's judgments, his decrees. Verse 35, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meter yard, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, that's like a bushel, and a just hin, shall you have. I am Jehovah your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am the Lord. So his judgments are, when you do business, you do it justly. You do it righteously. You have a measure that is accurate, good, and right. And let's turn now to Proverbs. Proverbs, there's many, many things about this in the Word of God. But Proverbs 16, chapter 11, chapter 16, verse 11. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. So if you say, this bushel is going to cost you so much per pound, and then you've got a heavy weight to be put in the scale. The lid was like a lead lid, and that's how much you're going to pay for this bushel basket. So they're going to put that over in a scale. He doesn't want you having a heavier weight than what you've advertised the price to be. He doesn't want you to cheat people.
In fact,
he calls it an abomination. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 10. Hallelujah. This is such an interesting word. Divers weights and divers measures, both of them alike, are abominations to the Lord. Verse 23. Divers weights are an abomination to the Lord, and a false balance is not good. So if you're dealing with people in an unjust way in merchandising, it is an abomination to God. Micah. We're going to turn to the book of Micah, chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure is abominable? Mm-hmm. Abominable. If you, let's say you promised them a 16-ounce pound and you only gave them a 12-ounce pound for the price of what you'd said a pound would be, shall I count them pure with the wicked balances and with a bag of deceitful weights? So what we've seen here in America last September, this is what I believe, Billy Brim believes. I don't know if this is the opinion of the House here. But I believe that we began to see the judgment of the merchandising of the Babylonian system come to pass. We began to see that there was greed. And there were, and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, there were loans made that people knew they could not repay. there were that would balloon, and the people couldn't repay them, and there were rewards given if you could make these loans, and you could get a bonus, and you could get rich, or this or that could happen. And political maneuvering went on in all of these things, and suddenly, the sin got fuller and fuller, and we began to see not one thing, and everybody's saying, "What happened? What happened? What happened?" Alan Greenspan said, "I'm shocked. What happened was the nations did not order their business by the judgment of the Lord, which would have kept them from coming into the judgments that are coming on the Babylonian system. The whole Babylonian system is going to be gone like the wind blows away the chaff. It's not going to be around here in the millennial age. You are not going to find it. Bless the Lord.
Mama.
Now, we're not over in the 7 years yet. We're not over in that final thing. But we have begun to see the beginnings of it. Now, I am personally of the opinion, especially since God visited us, in that great word, and he said, one thing will save America. That is an awakening to God. We can waken up to God.
Yeah.
We can have an awakening to God, and he's told us how to do it and how to get it. We can have an awakening to God that will push off judgment even in the economic realm so that until we leave here, we can have what we need to propagate the gospel. We will have an awakening to God.
Oh, I can
guarantee it. We will have an awakening to God, which will manifest God. Hallelujah. And I believe America will be a sheep nation. And I believe other nations. Oh, we're particularly going to be talking about Ireland.
We can have an awakening.
Yes, we can.
To push off judgment.
Push off the judgment, yes.
Oh, Lord. Father, we just thank you right now. We pray and we ask you, Lord, for this great awakening. It's your will.
It is your will.
Now, we believe we receive it. We ask for it. We believe we receive this great awakening and judgment passed over us. Judgment passes over us. It'll be pushed off. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' precious name.
We give you praise and thanksgiving for the mercy that you're showing to this nation.
Hallelujah.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
In the name
and to your people all over the world.
People.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Billy and I will be right back.
Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland in Australia for these exciting victory campaigns in 2009. Come to the Sydney Victory Campaign from the 21st to 23rd of May at the Sydney Entertainment Center, 35 Harbour Street, Haymarket, Sydney, New South Wales.
Awesome blessing. You come together in that unity and just to see the presence and see the face of Jesus.
Just to be within a stone's throw of where he's actually ministering, I'd recommend to anybody just come and check it out because it's a wonderful experience here.
Come to the Brisbane Victory Campaign from the 28th to 30th of May at the Brisbane Convention and Exhibition Centre at the corner of Merivale and Glen Elg Street, South Bank, Brisbane, Queensland.
Coming into an atmosphere where there's people believing by faith and hearing the word, that you're able to easily just come under that presence with Jesus.
To find out more, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.
Today is offering day on the broadcast, and we're going to sow in the light of the things that we've heard. Sowers are never abandoned.
Never.
I mean, you be a giver and you're not going to get in trouble if you obey God. You have to obey him in other areas, of course. But we're going to sow today, and we're going to sow for our nation and for your finances, for our finances. And when things get tough, you don't quit sowing. I mean, that's your way out. Now, Ken and I know that. We've been operating this way for years and years and years. And when things get tough, you sow. And so we're going to receive an offering today, and whatever you sow is up to you, but you sow something in this offering. Billy and I are going to pray over it. We're going to believe God for you, for your ministry, for your work, whatever it is. And we're going to receive the blessing, not just for you. Billy and I are going to sow in faith ourselves. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray over this offering today. And just right now, you tell people what you'd have them to do. What do they need to sow? Everybody's situation's different. You speak the word. And we receive that sowing as done, Lord. They'll do it. They'll do what they say they'll do. And Billy and I pray over the finances of the people that are listening to this tape all over the world, this
Hallelujah.
Broadcast all over the world. Father, you see our offering. You know what we're doing. All over the world, you're watching. We are sowing in faith in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Thank
We're
you,
sowing
Lord.
In faith. I'm going to sow $500 into this offering myself.
Praise
We're
God.
Sowing in faith. And whatever people get in their heart to do, they're going to do it right now. And
Hallelujah.
I'm asking you, Lord.
Amen.
I'm asking you for the blessing to
yes.
be manifest.
Of the kingdom of
so
God.
That the people of God are not cursed in
no.
a time of famine, but we're blessed in a time of
Hallelujah.
Famine. We're not decreasing in hard times. We're
increasing
because we're not under the curse. We rebuke the
Hallelujah.
Curse. We rebuke poverty in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we receive the blessing. Right now, just determine what you're going to do. Receive the blessing. We receive the blessing.
Hallelujah.
And we sow and we shall reap. In Jesus' name, we are blessed.
Hallelujah.
We're increased.
Thank you, Lord.
God will see us through every situation
Amen.
That comes.
Amen.
And we'll increase even in hard times.
Hallelujah.
And we pray for all the people,
all
Lord.
The
we
people.
Pray for the people that don't know how to sow. We ask you, Lord, for mercy upon them.
Mm-hmm.
That you save us, save the nation, save
them.
The individual. Wake them up. Wake up. Wake up.
Wake up,
America. And wake up different nations of the world that
Amen.
Are watching and get to listening to God and do whatever He
Hallelujah.
Tells you to do. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we worship you. And we tell you this, Lord, we're in faith and we're believing for the blessing
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We are blessed.
Hallelujah.
Just say it right now, wherever you are.
I
receive the blessing manifest
more
and more. More and more. We're not decreasing. We're increasing. Billy and I will be back next week, so don't miss it. Oh, this is exciting. This is Gloria and Billy reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for watching The Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit kcm.org. Monday on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
One thing will save America, and it is not the election. It is an awakening to God. One thing will help Israel and the nations, an awakening to God.